a member of the Talk and Audio Network. Find more at talkandaudio.com or search for us on iTunes. Now, let's crack open another one. This is Tall Can Sports.
Look at this morose motherfucker right here, sitting there with notes and shit.
Yeah, nothing pertaining to this show, though.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Anything special over there today?
Nope.
All right.
Just a little more Grolsch.
Just waiting for that echo to clear out. That's good there. And we'll just...
You know what? It's funny because pre-show prep.
Yeah.
Wandered out onto the balcony outside the studio here.
Had a nice piss.
Belch. Scratch.
The old piss and belch. If I ever open a pub.
Yeah, great place. Great place in Peterborough right there. No, 11 stories up here. Crack the can. And I honestly could hear it echo.
Hey, just me or someone enjoying some of those old-fashioned, what do they call it, Colts?
Oh, are they going to say left-handed?
The old lefties? No. I'm sure I could smell those cheap little cigars you get at the...
Just now?
No. Yeah, well, we were sitting out there.
Oh, no, I wasn't getting that at all.
Okay, well.
I thought it was my feet.
No, I actually quite enjoy the smell okay. of a Colt.
All right, look at you.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I think you've just spent enough time on the road and...
Stanley Cup Finals wrap up. We're a few days late on this.
Yeah,
but,
before we get into that.
All right.
Did you see Sid and some of the Penguins at the PNC?
Pavilion, yeah. Where the Pirates play?
Yeah. No. Throwing out the first pitch yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Man.
Were they clearly hammered?
Well, that's what somebody said. Clearly looking like they've been doing some celebrating. But you know what? Sid threw a pretty decent pitch.
How about Mitch Marner throwing out the first one at a Jays game?
Who gives a shit?
You're a Jays guy.
Yep, not a Mitch Marner guy, though.
So basically every Leaf after that chimed in on Twitter. JVR asking if that was a wiffle ball he was throwing. He goes, that moved slower than a Nazem Kadri wrist shot. Oh, man, times are tough.
Yeah, tough crowd. Anyway, Sid had a nice stepped up, powered it in, had some good pace on it.
Did he take the cup out to the mound with him?
Well, I didn't see that.
All right. You see the shot of Mario jumping into Sid's pool fully clothed?
No, I did not.
He also looked like he was having a good time.
Yeah, well, clearly winning cups. Hey, now, how about after all this giving and taking and all the love that, you know, Smashville was getting?
Yep.
Some of the social media stuff out of Pittsburgh yesterday saying... Nashville throws catfish. We throw parades.
Oh, love it. That's dirty and awesome. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's start here because we are going to talk about the series a little bit. But I'm curious at first blush, which era was better? Which tandem was better? Was it the Lemieux Yager Penguins, 91-92? Or the Crosby Malkin Penguins of 16-17.
See, am I wrong to suggest that I look at it as the Lemieux Stevens?
Yes. I mean, you're absolutely wrong to think of it that
way. No, and I was wrong.
Francis,
thank you. Ron Francis. Lemieux Ron Francis.
Okay, so you're going to balk at this. But if we're doing Lemieux but if we're doing Lemieux
Yager, is this going to be a Leaf segue?
Only partially.
God!
No. If we do Lemieux, Yager, Francis, right, would that be the top three? Then is it not Crosby, Malkin, Kessel?
Okay, all right. Well, that certainly seems to be the big three, sort of, when some of the talking heads are talking about untouchables. Well,
and Kessel stuff. Had a bad final. Like, he was not very good.
Well, he wasn't as good this playoffs as he was last year when he was with the HBK line.
I guess I lost track of it a bit during the Sens series, but he was like, he right now is, I was just reading this going into maybe game 5 or game 6. A 0.74 points per game player in the regular season and a 0.94 player in the playoffs. Like, he had a pretty good start to the playoffs. You would know better than me whether or not he was impactful during the Ottawa series. I don't remember. He wasn't very good in the finals. But he was very good against Washington, and he was very good against Columbus.
See, I think after, especially after last season, now there was times in the Ottawa series where he was dangerous.
Sure.
Right? He didn't have the level of finish that he's had in the past against the Senators. To me, for sure the second half. I didn't pay too much attention to him in the Columbus-Washington.
Yeah. So which era do you think is...
Ooh, I'm taking Francis Lemieux and Jagr every time.
And so the follow-up to that is the 09 Cup now, part of this
And you know what?
Era.
Let me just dial back here a second.
Sure, yeah.
When I say every time, like, and really it's the conclusion of Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel's,
sure, yeah.
Phil Kessel's, and Phil's good. Yep. And again, I think what you just pointed out, and a sort of 35, 40 goal guy in this era, nothing to sneeze at,
mm-hmm.
right? And we knew, and I think on this show, you know, early in this, in the sort of the
Kessel
show,
era in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, yeah, even before he left, right? Yeah. I remember saying, 50 goals, right? That he's going to go there and he's
tough to do.
Right. Now, to me, yeah.
But I agreed. I thought he would be 40 all day.
So, but now,
hasn't been.
Now, since I jumped on you and see now more closely where you're going, right? If you look at Jagr and Lemieux,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at, you know, Jagr with only his 2,000 points or whatever he's got,
loser.
Right? Chump. So clearly you're talking about Malkin Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
No, so, and that's all. And I just wondered. Now, I looked this up. Penguins fans have been spoiled fucking rotten since 1987. And you can go and you can look this up for yourselves if you think I'm crazy. Penguins have had 15 of 30 years the Art Ross Trophy winner.
Yeah. And you know
87,
what?
87, 89, 90, 92, 93, Lemieux. There's a couple more in there. Then Jagr had five or six in a row. Malkin's had two. Crosby's had two or three. Whew.
And you know what? Twice that franchise has been pulled off the scrap
I know.
by generational all-world hockey players.
But literally half the time since 1987, a Penguin has won the scoring race. Unreal.
Pittsburgh, what the hell? You know, pretty decent sports town, though.
Well, if you don't count the Pirates.
Great history of winning, though. Right, and even if you look at the success they had right up through the Bobby Bonilla, Barry Bonds era before,
yeah.
You know, great baseball history there. Now, they've been in hard times for the last 25 years.
Right. Had one winning year there two or three years ago with McCutcheon and that group.
Well, and so to me.
Wild card, I guess it got them.
Yeah. Well, and they a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But man, the hockey you're talking about in the Crosby Malkin era, three cup wins if you include the 09 or 09, and then
so do we.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but everyone else seems to, and they're really saying what with now Letang, I believe, was on that.
I think so.
As a rookie or as a young guy.
Yeah.
But so really beyond Letang, Crosby, and Malkin, who else is there?
Yeah. Like you have a guy in Bill Guerin who's now assistant GM, right? Like,
yeah.
Who played on that
09
team.
To me, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't include those. That to me is a, man, you're talking almost 10 years.
So to you, it is. It's three cups in 8 years.
Yeah. No, to
is
me,
it harder? So three cups for Chicago in 6 years.
To me, it's a stretch to reach back and go. And to me, you're only looking for the debate and
yep.
people interested in talking about. And I'm not just talking about you because I've heard it now from a bunch of people, right? People who are saying, oh, well, you know, back-to-back cups like the 91-92 Penguins, you know, but these guys here with their two-cup appearances back-to-back with one win, which is pretty impressive.
Yep.
But you are still talking about just the same two guys.
Yeah. No, it's interesting to me in that, you know, I don't think, I'm kind of like you. I don't think it counts quite like Chicago's, won three in between, right? Like to me, that's if you want to talk about modern day dynasties.
Yeah. And just before we get on to other things
yeah.
and, or in the cup itself, I'm really sorry at this point now that I've aborted or, you know, your, because to me it's an interesting talk if you want to talk about pairs, Malkin Crosby versus Jágr Lemieux.
Right.
Right? In terms of who would you take, what would you do, which one would you go with? And to me it's Lemieux and Jágr all day.
I wonder how much of that is off the top of the head of my head, and maybe it's my age because I was 9-10 years old when that 91-92 team was doing their thing. I'm aware of the stats. I'm aware of the how good they were, but I'm probably taking Crosby Malkin only in the sense that in this era, having those two dominant centers instead of,
which is why I included Francis
over
Jágr, who is a Hall of Famer.
Sure. And that's why if you want to open it up to the three,
troika. Like,
but I think at that point, this modern team falls behind because Kessel is not Jágr, right? Like, you can make a reasonable case for Crosby Malkin being equivalent to Lemieux Francis. You can't make the case that Kessel and Jágr are a saw off.
Right. So. And you know what the thing is? To me,
Jágr's still fucking playing.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be interested to see what kind of year he has.
At some point, you think he's got to fall off, but
well, and if to me, if Florida's still using him in their top six this year,
yeah,
that doesn't bode well for Florida. But to me, Crosby fights through way more than Lemieux had to 25 years ago.
And Lemieux quit because he thought what he was going through was too much.
Yeah. No, and see, the thing is, Crosby does all his own spade work.
Yeah.
He gets down, retrieves the puck, he gets him behind the net, he goes to the dirty spots. Yeah, Lemieux was more perimeter.
Very good at it.
But, yeah, no, honestly. I think there's an argument to me that he may have been the most purely skilled guy ever to play the game.
So if we delete the tandems, do you want Lemieux or Crosby to start a franchise around?
Oh, see, and you know what? Yeah, they had a debate on the radio the other day going, they're saying, is there a debate? Is there a debate that Crosby's the best Penguin of all time?
I think there's certainly a debate.
Well, see, and that's what the thing is. Yeah, you can't not have that debate.
Three just cups as opposed to two.
Well, and I think you can't discount a cup appearance.
Nope.
Right. You didn't win.
Got there in 08. Yeah.
You have been to four cup finals.
20-year-old, 21-year-old at that time, so.
He came in 87 birth, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So.
But yeah, to me, he's been to four cups, and if you look at his calendar year, you know, back-to-back Conn Smythe, back-to-back Stanley Cups, a World Cup.
A Rocket Richard,
a World Cup MVP.
Suck at Brad Marchand.
You're like,
yeah.
What have you not won? Like, and to me, all the talk of, you know, he's got concussion problems and there's a bunch of things going on there. And is there an argument to be made that he may be at his best?
Yeah. I wonder more around that. I don't 2010, 2011, 2012, when he was missing all that time, and it comes out that it was misdiagnosed.
Yeah,
like
neck,
a lot of it was neck problems.
Yeah.
How many more points he should have? How many more Art Rosses or Rocket Richards could he have, right? Like at least two more, maybe.
Hey, when we were talking about Ovechkin eclipsing 1,000 points, and we look and you go, Crosby is, 30 points? At that point, 30 points. I think it's probably closer.
Yeah.
Behind Ovechkin. In like 160 less games.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Like to me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Points per game. They're saying he's fifth or sixth in career points per game.
Yeah.
Like he has like a 1.34 points per game in the regular season.
Well, so the debate I was listening to on another podcast and on the radio this week is it reasonable yet to start talking about him as a top five all-time player? If everyone assumes Gretzky or Howe are your, you know, for sure lock top three.
Well, see, and he was sixth in the list of points per game players.
Yeah.
I'm racking my brain right now. I can only come up with four guys. Do you have a guess? on who ranks in front of him in that all-time point? Oh, I got him. I got the fifth guy.
Well, Gretz.
Gretz, 1.94.
Pretty good.
Fuck.
Messier played a lot longer.
Nope.
Yeah.
Lemieux.
Yeah, okay, because he missed a ton of
So
time.
It's really the other two guys.
Orr?
Three guys, sorry. Yes, Bobby Orr is on there as well.
Yeah, because he had a very short career putting up a ton of points.
As a defenseman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Lindros? No, nope. He had a bunch of dud years at the
end. No, but he does have, I think he's got like a, he's got a, over a point a game.
Yeah. No, so, I don't know.
Okay, how about both were on my Team Quebec.
Right. Mike Bossy?
Mike Bossy.
Yeah, okay.
And the other one played on my top line, played for the Kings, played for the Wings.
Oh, yeah. Not Robitaille, but Dion?
Marcel Dion. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, and the point I hope to illustrate out of that is, what generation did the top five guys all play in? 70s, 80s, 90s. That's the where scoring was off the charts.
And I think any one of them would tell you, and Gretz has said it 1,000 times when asked about his own records. He goes, you've seen the goalies I played against versus the goalies everyone's playing against now. Like, forget how big they are. Forget how everyone defends and those systems and everything. So the goaltending across the league.
You don't score with shots along the ice now.
Yeah, guys just, you know, getting over the blue line and hammering it. And that's not ever going in now, right? Unless you're Vesitoskla or whatever. We've all seen one, right? So
yes.
Yeah, it's Nick Lidstrom on Dan Cluche. Those are always fun. Yeah, it's an interesting debate. I think Sid is getting to the point where, you know, you're talking about World Junior Gold, Olympic Gold, bunch of
World
MVPs.
Championship Gold.
Richard trophies, Art Ross trophies, three cups. At some point, that conversation has to be had. Is he a top five player all time? He'll never catch Gretzky. He'll never catch Orr.
No way. Yeah, there's no chance he's gonna.
But that's it. To me,
his points per game only goes down from here. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not imminently.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
No, but yeah, I agree with
but
that.
But to me, yeah, those other guys.
Vegas has got them at odds-on favorite to win it again next year.
Well, I don't know if I see anybody else with that. That's a clear cut.
Right. You could make arguments for other teams, but you not a prohibitive favorite?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But to me, they look like as good a chance as anybody.
Well, and they're also, like, they're going to lose a piece, just like the whole league will, to Vegas. But it's not going to be a, you know, like, who are half of these guys that they just won with, right?
Well, and I think we're going to get into,
in the next episode.
In the next episode, we'll get into that. So I don't want to touch too much on that. But
if you think, well, they're going to have to give somebody up, they are, but so is the whole league. So that's all relative, right?
And they have five guys with no move clauses.
Yeah.
But one of them's already waived it.
So Letang, yeah, it's true. Letang misses the entire playoffs. Not one guy in their top six has ever received one single Norris vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a lot of people are now talking about, as they probably should be, the job Jacques Martin did with that defense.
Okay, and you know what? We talked about this, and if you want to sort of get more into the series itself.
Yeah. But that's unbelievable. Right, you have six guys who never have gotten one vote ever.
Right, and you tweeted.
And you won the cup.
You tweeted out, right? Our predictions, which were what again?
Yeah, I had Nashville in five, and I believe you were Pens in six.
No, you don't believe.
Well, I couldn't remember if it was six or seven.
Yeah, no, that's exact. And you said, I'm sure he'll be humble. and to me, I always felt like it was a no-brainer. Pittsburgh was gonna win the series.
It's one of those backhanded.
Okay, no. Just wait for it though.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was a no-brainer. Right? Says to the guy with...
You know, I just said that was a backhanded
Nashville. Yeah. But the thing is, if I had any sort of balls, five games or seven, calling for the full game seven, those are ballsy calls. Six is kind of that vanilla, middle of the road.
You get to say no matter what I'm close to is within one.
I'm going
to
err on the side. Yeah. To me, that's not a... You know, once you've called the winner, to me... call a sweep, call five, calls six is to me is the easiest
right.
prediction of all of them, right? Because to me, I bet you if you looked at the stats and I haven't, right? And if you took all the series and just sort of from all the years and wound them up, I bet you
a lot of six gamers.
A lot of six gamers, right? The ebb and flow, you get a couple. And so to me, this series.
Well, even the worst teams in NHL history win 1 out of 3 games. So if you look at the better team often winning in six, that about fits.
See, right? Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
I'm going to win 2-1.
Yep.
4-2. So to me, this was one because Pittsburgh, and I didn't watch the Columbus series at all, right? I didn't see a lick of Pittsburgh-Columbus. I did pay more attention than that to the Washington one because it went 7. There was a bunch of things. Pittsburgh up 3-1. In the Ottawa series, man, Ottawa should have won the first two games in Pittsburgh. They won the first one. They lost 1-0 when they had a dud of a game.
Yep.
They blitzed Pittsburgh here in Ottawa.
In game 4?
Three. Game 3. There was a very realistic chance that Ottawa could have been up 3-0 as opposed to 2-1.
Yep.
And then Pittsburgh took that series over.
Yeah, steadied the ship.
Yep.
And got it under control.
And went so back Ottawa, to had the, eventually. Ottawa had the chance early. And then if you fast forward to the Stanley Cup final. So man.
Without going down this road too far, you feel like bounce goes the other way in double overtime, Ottawa's lifting the cup?
It's not a hands down thing.
Right.
That's a totally different series,
yep.
I think. I think Ottawa probably beats Nashville.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with that.
Okay. But to me, it's not a – to me, Pittsburgh was the best team of all of them.
Yep.
Right? So including Anaheim. So to me, it's the right team won. So what happened is in the final, if you use that same theory that what happened in the Ottawa series, man, Nashville was the better team in games 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Bad goaltending.
Oof, man. Was sinking them hard. Like,
so instead of being up 2-0, they're down 2-0. Then they roll home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even close.
No.
They spanked Pittsburgh in that game, and it's 2-2. But, man, it could just – I don't think I'm wrong. It could have been a sweep.
Yep. At worst, a 3-1. Like, I read someone who said that Pittsburgh was the better team, and they'd gone back, and they'd looked at everything, shots and all these sorts of things, and how it – out of the first 120 minutes of hockey played in Pittsburgh games 1 and 2, Pittsburgh was the better team for 9 of those minutes.
Yeah. Okay. See,
and that was enough.
So, well, when you go 37 minutes without a shot, you're not the better team in those 37 minutes.
No.
So you got the other 23 up for grab.
Right.
In that game.
Yeah.
So to me, that's, again, the two series kind of mirror each other that way.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh was the better team for sure in games 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Like, no, that wasn't even close. And to me, Crosby himself just got better, right? Through game 4, even though they lost it, to me, he was a beast.
Put any stock whatsoever in the Listerine thing motivating him.
Well, we covered that in a previous show.
Well, only loosely that at that time, because he was also the best player in game 6.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess we did cover it a little bit, but just I think he absolutely got better. He absolutely was the best player on the ice in at least the last 2 games, if not more. I just wonder if that would happen either way.
See, because I listened to a radio show and they were talking and the host was saying the same thing you were saying. Oh, Crosby didn't want to win without that whole fiasco and I don't think anybody's suggesting he doesn't want to win. And as I said to you, at that level, whether it's Stanley Cup playoffs, whether it's Olympics, whatever it is, the difference is so fine between top-end athletes that sometimes that's all it is. And we're not talking about 10%, as I said in the last show. We are talking about 0.5% of effort, 1%, like this very fine line. So to me, it certainly did make a difference.
Okay.
And if it didn't,
sure,
it sure looks like it did.
What did you think about, like, to me, Pekka Rinne? He wasn't good in those first 2 games. I guess he really wasn't good in any game in Pittsburgh. Matt Murray just looked rock solid all the way through it. And he had a couple of bad moments, I guess, here and there if you want it. But he looked like the vet, right? Like, he looked like the $7 million guy that Rinne is. He looked like the composed
two cup wins as a rookie still.
Yeah. He's still eligible, and he won't win Rookie of the Year this year.
Well, and that's what I said to you at the beginning of the year. Do you remember we had that conversation? We were talking about Calder, and as it went through, and I'm saying, what about Matt Murray?
Yeah.
Still in the, still eligible for the Calder, but yeah, nobody talks about him at all.
Yeah. And
now he missed a chunk of time off that World Cup injury, right?
He wasn't the starter last year, right, until the playoffs started, and it was almost the reverse this year, right? Fleury was the guy last year, and Murray took the reins in the playoffs and was great. This year, as you said, Murray came into the season with an injury, and Fleury was very good right off the hop, and it was hard for Murray to get his job back. Eventually did, and then he gets hurt on night one of the playoffs.
Mark in the warm-ups.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre, you played great, and then you have one soft period.
Yeah.
Wham! You're out.
So Elliot Friedman was the one who apparently submitted a question on behalf of the Pro Hockey Writers Association to the NHL saying, can you vote for a tie? Can you put two
on
guys?
On a Conn Smythe?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Okay. Here's the answer that he wanted. He said, I don't know how to
Pittsburgh
value.
Pittsburgh goaltending he wanted?
Yeah. He said, I don't know how you put what Murray has done in the last two rounds ahead of what Fleury was able to do against Washington, right? Against that Game 7 shutout. Had two shutouts in that series. He said, can I? And the NHL replied and said, you can vote for a tie, but the players cannot play the same position, which is even more lame than asking for a tie. Like, because I understand where he's going. He's going, but if you feel like Matt Murray and Sidney Crosby were equals, you can vote for, well, what the fuck, right? Like,
yeah,
that's stupid.
For sure,
I get what he's doing. I don't get what they're trying to.
All right, and since you brought it up, you see they released the results on the voting?
Yeah.
What do you think of Erik Karlsson getting one third place Conn Smythe trophy winner vote?
I kind of feel like there's as good a case to be made. Now, if he'd have won, which obviously wasn't close to winning.
Yeah, no, and clearly that writer, whoever it was, and what, because it's voted on by,
I think it's your national writers. I don't think it's just your regional guys.
No, and no Ottawa guy had a vote, right?
Right.
It's the 15 guys who are covering.
I think you could make a case that he was as deserving as anyone. But I think
You got to play in the final.
I don't think Ottawa gets close to the final without him.
Agreed. Agreed.
So who has, off the top of your head, Hextall has won in a loss in
Jaguar.
The final. Jaguar won in a loss.
There's a Philly. There's another Philly player other than Hextall.
Bernie Perron?
Not a goalie, but a scorer.
Okay.
Anyways.
Yeah. I get it. And I wouldn't have voted for him because he didn't make the final. But I get where they're coming from. Because really, there's no. It was Sid or Malkin or just about anybody. Jake Guentzel, you could have made a case for. I don't know who on the other side. I guess Rene.
Rene was the
going
hands
into
down
the
favorite
finals,
coming
yeah.
in, yes,
and had a real flushed that away in two games in Pittsburgh.
Having a .750 save percentage,
oof, that hurts you.
Goes a long way. Goes a long. Hey, can you hear Tortorella saying? It's the 1-4 ratio that's killing me.
Need a save.
Yeah, this
need
is
a save.
We can't allow one out of every four shots in. That's just crushing us.
Well, you can if Pittsburgh is going to go 37 minutes without a shot on a regular basis. But
yeah.
Actually, apparently not. So, no, anyway, I get it. And I didn't think it was as stupid as some people did. But he obviously didn't have a chance at winning it. I do think you probably have to get to the finals.
For sure.
But,
to me, it's not. And
but
I think
that
I
was probably
like
a tip of the cap to someone.
Yeah.
Someone.
And likely from a Pittsburgh reporter, more than likely.
Maybe, yeah.
To me, I don't even like to see the losing teams. I like to see it come from the winning team.
This is all semantics, and you and I have talked about it on a number of different sports and a number of different fronts before. Is it the most outstanding player or is it the most valuable player to his team? Because you can have the most valuable player to his team be on the other team.
Yeah, okay. I agree. And in that case, Karlsson fits.
Yep. As does, again, I guess, how do you pick between any of those four defensemen in Nashville?
Right.
So if it's most outstanding, then, yeah, you got a case to make for a few different guys on Pittsburgh, especially. So,
but it isn't. So to me, it's if it is the, yeah, I have no idea.
They just kind of make it up as they go, I think.
Right.
And usually, the most outstanding guy, why wouldn't he be the most valuable, right? Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, and to me, you know what? I think we're at a spot now where there's a bit of a blueprint being developed, right? You look at the last two cups that Pittsburgh's won. Defense, not a strength, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Man, no Letang at points in this playoffs. There's been no Schultz. Dumoulin been in and out. They've just been Trevor Daly was out for a bit and came
Our
back.
Our boy, Frankie Corrado, wins himself a cup.
Mark Strait had to come in the Ottawa series and played a couple games and went out. Like, to me, that is a – and the year before, same thing, right? You had a very much a thin defensive core, right?
At least they did have Letang in that one to kind of hold it all together.
Yeah.
He was kind of like Duncan Keith.
He missed a game or two due to suspension, I think.
Yes. The year before that, right, Duncan Keith, they were playing three defensemen
Seabrook,
at one point.
Seabrook, Yarmolson.
And Keith.
And Keith.
And they then, just would not put.
Well, you had Runblad, I think, Kimmo Tiiminen.
He was one of them, Kimmo Tiiminen. Those two were kind of, TVR was in there.
Right. What I'm saying is you've now gone back a year further, which is where I was going as well. To me, that defense was, now you had a couple studs up front, right? Like, to me, Yarmolson.
Yeah, those blue lines.
Seabrook.
Even at only three deep is better than either of these Pittsburgh
no,
blue
no,
lines.
But what I'm saying is, to me, that's, none of them are as good a defensive core as what Nashville had.
That's right.
One through six.
Yeah.
Great top four, and then even a couple of, whoever those are.
Irwin and Yannick Weber. The other Weber we had.
Yeah. So to me, I think thin up front. Great on the back end.
Yeah.
To me, I think.
Are you thinking maybe it's a little less important than it used to be to have the.
Well, see,
if you got the guns?
It used to be you had to have a stud goalie, right? You didn't win if you didn't have.
Right.
Right. And then you look at the Niemis of the world and the Osgoods of the world. And I think for a while there, people would throw Crawford into that.
I was just going to say.
Into that mix, right? Yep. And you sort of go, man, do we need to have a stud goalie, or do we need to have somebody who's...
Well, it's almost money. How much are you willing to spend on goaltending, right? Do we need...
Dallas is willing to spend $11 million.
Do we need Lundqvist's 8.5?
Crazy.
Or can we get by with...
For a dude who's never won.
Anything. Yeah.
Olympics and a world championship.
Well, you can have all the world championships you want, but I'll give, I'll give you the Olympics.
Sweet.
That's... Yeah, I don't know. I just, what am I willing to spend on goaltending when I'm watching teams win it with what they're winning it with, right? In the last case, last two cup winners are a rookie. Before that, yeah, as you mentioned, we've seen the Emmys, we've seen a lot of guys like that, Osgoods and whatever, right? So it's one of those things where you, even the first one that Crawford won, he wasn't, the second one, you go, he's an established guy. The first one, he was just a guy.
Well, and the one year Chicago beat Philly, who rode Michael Layton right to a cup final. Ottawa went to a cup final with Ray Emery as their goalie. Like, to me, it's, you have to have some guys cooking for you up front and some luck, right? To me, it's man, the back end, it used to be if you build straight out.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder now.
Did he
now,
get
the, the Kings have won a couple of cups with an above-average goalie, stud D, and then some clutch scoring.
They were pretty balanced across both positions, I felt, those two Kings teams. They were,
right, but I'm saying there wasn't a pile of stuff on there that's going to wow you.
Right.
Right? Doughty, great D, right? But then, you know.
Your Martinez's and your, what's his name that was on the world, Muzzin's and.
Jake Muzzin.
Yeah. You get a chance, I don't know if you've watched the final game or not, you see any of the post-game on-ice stuff?
I didn't see a lick of it.
So they ask Matt Cullen, who essentially was planning to retire after last year's Cup, I'm going to go out on top, whatever, and I guess a couple of guys in the leadership group, Crosby and Malkin and Letang and Fleury, went and said, come on, man, one more year, right? You got this in you and you're still producing. He goes, yeah, okay. So they asked him in the thing, is this it, right? Is this what? And he goes, he still wasn't totally committed. He goes, yeah, I think so, right? Like,
or I'll have to ask the guys.
Right? He goes, you know, I've won two in a row now, and he's got his son that's standing there with him. And he goes, I'm over 40 years old. And, you know.
Man, he played well, though.
He did. And that's it. When Panino went out, he was taking, like, in that game six, Crosby won 21% of his draws, Malkin won 17% of his draws, and Cullen was winning around 50. Like, he was doing his thing. He was still contributing. Now, I get it. 82 games is a long time, right? And another long, when you've got two cups in a row, I get it. Yeah. If you might be willing to, but it's just interesting to hear him be pretty, you know, real about it, right? And go, most guys will give that, well, I'll talk to my family and we'll talk to the team. And he goes, yeah, you know what? I think at this point, you know, what's left? Because he also won that cup in Carolina, having won two in a row now, and his kids been around to see it. That was, I don't know, I kind of enjoyed that moment. It was very real.
They
right?
brought him in here to Ottawa here a couple years ago, sort of as a late season signing, and he was awesome in the playoffs. It was a much shorter run. Right. But to me, I would love to have seen him come back.
Right.
But he went home to Minnesota, I think.
Sid held on to the cup a little longer this time. Last year he went. Remember, Trevor Daley was hurt.
Yep.
And he gave it to him right away. This year, held on to it a bit. Picked it up. Didn't bogart it. Right. He just do anything crazy. He just, I'm going to enjoy this one a little bit. And then he turns and hands it off to... can't remember. I think it might have been Ron Hainsey.
I was going to say, usually goes to the, it's become in that vogue, vet, in vogue yeah. to give it to the guy who hasn't won it and played a million years.
Yeah. But there was an interesting thing that they were talking about the next day on Hockey Central that I thought was ridiculous, that the league had been trying to push them, like everybody go for a skate with him. Remember back, everyone used to take a long, and now they're kind of boxed in. They do this kind of circle and they whatever. And I can remember thinking to myself, like, if I just won the championship, I don't care what the league wants me to do with it. This is what we're going to do. We just want. But B, maybe I'd have a little room to take that lap if I didn't have
a million people out here.
As soon as it was over. Again, yeah. There's cables and power cord. And I get a lot of the shit's wireless now, but not all of it. And
yeah.
There's no room. Get the fuck off the ice.
You're never going to get that clip of Patrick Waugh coming over saying, I'm going to Disney's land.
But I just know if I had just won a championship, A, I don't care what the league wants, and B, get out of my face, and maybe I would have room to take a skate with it. Right?
Have you had a chance to see that? It's a Sportsnet production. I think it's called Names in the Cup.
No. Okay. Are we talking about how big it could be and how tall?
Well,
and
there's a lot of things, right? Yeah. Like how much it weighs.
Yeah.
You know how much it weighs?
No.
34 yeah. and a half pounds.
Yeah.
No, it was.
You guys lifting it on dislocated shoulders.
Yeah,
and shit.
It was, to me, there was a bunch of things that were interesting, like the length of the rings in the cup. Like this year, the bottom ring comes off.
And a bunch of big names. Ted yeah. Lindsay's coming off. The Rockets coming off.
Mid-50s to mid-60s.
And so for those of you who don't know, they always take the bottom. And it hasn't happened now in, well, obviously quite a while. But I guess each ring can last like 20 years or something.
Yep.
And then they have to pull the bottom one off and everybody moves down, right? So that you can continue. Otherwise, it's going to be like, they said at this point, it would really only be about a half foot taller than it is right now. But at some point you have to draw a line because yep. it would eventually be 9 feet tall and you couldn't pick it up. So they pull a bunch of the bottom rungs off as you go. And then everyone gets pulled down a bit and you just keep doing it that way. But people are up in arms because there's stupid clickbait articles all over the internet. They're taking Gordie Howe off the cup. And you go, yeah, everyone comes off the fucking yeah. cup at
some point.
Now, all those rungs go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and sit on a replica they have there.
Yeah, they're not gone.
No, just, yeah, yeah. Fuck you, Gordy.
Yeah, right? Trash. hey, and only 4 engravers ever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, so, and none of those are the points I wanted to make
okay,
on,
all right.
on the thing.
Sorry,
which,
I just thought that was interesting.
No, yeah. of course, and then I went in the other direction.
Right.
It was Gretzky talking about the first year they won. Right?
In 84. Yeah.
And so he's like, I look over and it's, there's a minute left in the game and all the training staff, all the scouts, all the ownership, the GM, everyone's there.
Yeah.
Right. And then everybody's on the ice.
Yeah.
And so he said in their fourth year that they won it, which was 88, fourth in 5 years.
Right.
On the way in, they were up 3-0, right? They were going to, you know, he said, when we win tonight to security,
yeah.
don't let anyone on the ice. Nobody. Coaching staff and players, that's it. Don't let anybody else on.
Don't you think that's how it should be?
Okay, and so what he's saying is, and that's the genesis of that first. That's the first photo of the cup in the middle of the ice.
Couldn't even like, yeah.
And so and so what he's saying is, yeah, we want a second. We did this. We want to have this chance.
Yeah.
And so he said, and that photo is, it's meant to be, they had a bunch of pictures of Stanley Cup winners from the 60s where they're doing the formal, you know, school picture with the cup in the middle and then all the benches.
Yeah.
That's was supposed to replicate that, but sort of in an impromptu kind of way.
Yeah.
And now it's become the norm, right?
Yeah. But, no, they started that. And that, as you said, now it's a thing, right?
And that's why they started it, though. He's like, yeah. He's like, we want to enjoy this on our own. We don't want all these other people who we love.
Of course.
Family and whatever else, but we don't want that.
When they said in Buffalo, when Brett Hull scores that shit goal in 99, right, which the toe in the crease or whatever, half the reason it couldn't be reviewed is there's already confetti falling and the media's been let onto the ice. And I think it made it all the way to 07, Anaheim, Ottawa, before family was let immediately on the ice. I think that was a Niedermeyer and a Burke thing that they had said, we're not going back into the locker room. We're going to do this out here on the ice with our families. But I don't know if it was right that second when but the families had all been told, if we win this, you're all going to be allowed onto the ice. And because that's kind of cool too, right? But sure. You got to have a few minutes. You got
to
have it.
And to me, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You got to have the moment with just the guys.
Yeah.
Because honestly, everything gets aborted.
Yeah.
The whole feeling. And you know, we got a lot of time.
Shoving microphones in
your
fucking
face. All the F-bombs that get dropped and everything.
Yeah.
Now I got to worry about, you know,
yeah,
my kids here.
My
now.
Daughter's hearing this, and she's 4 years old.
And
whatever,
she's wearing
right?
her little tutu, ballet tutu, which
exactly.
Seems to be the way kids want to do it, right?
Yeah, I think you got to give them 5 minutes. Forget without the family, without the media. You don't have to be out there that fast. Like,
yeah,
you need a few minutes to just, we busted our asses for 8 months to do this, right? Like,
and then they want to know, how do you feel?
Who are you thinking of right now? I'm thinking you should get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah. Woo!
Any final thoughts on this series? To me, I don't know if it was as entertaining as I expected. It was certainly as interesting as I expected, right? Like, it was very, some of the stuff that we were watching, as you mentioned earlier, Nashville clearly being the better team in games 1 and 2 and not winning a fucking thing in there.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. I thought the Subban thing that we covered in depth on our last show was interesting.
And I think the scramble, I think obviously we haven't touched on it in this show, but we did touch on it throughout the series. Just how the injury to
Johansson.
Ryan Johansson, how that severely impacted what was already a sort of...
Well, the counter argument would be they didn't have Letang, right? And
yeah, okay.
Versus number one center.
Yeah. And clearly we've just laid out over the past 15 minutes that if I got to lose one.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm gonna lose the D.
Sure.
I'm going to lose the D. So to me, yeah, on a team that's already offensively challenged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they were ever able to fully.
Cali Yarncrook and,
you know, they were
Colton
saying,
Sissons.
Or, yeah, and beyond, I can't remember if it was beyond Sissons, they didn't have a guy that had more than one goal.
A forward?
Yeah.
Oof, fuck. Beyond Sissons, man.
Yeah.
Times are tough when you're looking to that guy.
That's a TV show of the week right there, Beyond Sissons. Sissons change.
Oh, I like that.
There you go. Anyways, no, man, that's what I got. To me, and it was a great ride for an Ottawa fan. I know you guys have been out for about 3 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But really, I think, you know...
Well, Nashville's another one of those teams where no guarantee they're even making the playoffs next year.
And we can get into that in a different show. But, yeah, to me, it looks very different next year. There's a pile of things, right? That you look at that Final Four, beyond Pittsburgh, there's no guarantees on any of those teams.
Right. Right.
Right. And so that is just how fickle this whole process goes.
We like parity.
Yeah.
We like our
and that's why, you know, back-to-back cup championships in a league riddled with parity.
It's impressive.
man, it's impressive.
For sure.
Right, and you can't, and you know, you can't say enough about that.
I think we have, though.
I think we have, too.
That's TCS.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.